Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and I'm glad to be back in the studio. We have been running a couple of our archive shows the last few weeks. We pray that you enjoyed the show. You know, I was looking through my archive collection. I said, wow, man, we got a lot of material, a lot of stuff that we went through, and I think it's time to kind of refresh our memory on those things. So I wanted to share some of the best stuff, and I have quite a few other things that are prepared in our archives section here that I like to share with y'all. But one thing that really brought to my remembrance is that we're into the spring season and late spring, and so getting ready to make that transition to summer here in another month or so. But it had been raining. Then I did a show with a young man called Glenn, and he did a community garden, and I was looking out at over my backyard. I said, wow, man, it'd be nice time to set up a community garden. So I pray that what we share with you with Glenn's knowledge of gardening and his love for gardening and how he was able to share that with me and a listening audience. So let us know how easy it was. And, you know, Glenn was especially was above ground gardening. And I love that. I love that. And I look at my backyard and I look around areas that will be suitable for a garden, man. I say, man, this is real simple. Glenn is no longer with us. He's gone to be with the Father. But he left something behind that made an impact in people's life. And that's what this program is about. Helping to change a life, making a difference in someone's life. You know, someone made a difference in my life. Someone told me I could be the head and not the tail. Someone told me I could be above and not believe. And guess what? I didn't believe it at first, but slowly, 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 it took root. Kind of like a garden. You know, you plant a garden, you don't know what to expect. But in the process of time, those seeds start taking root. And when they come up, you start nourishing them. I thank God for people nourishing me over at my own church, Shady Grove Baptist Church, with Pastor Morgan, with Minister Edwards in our juvenile ministry, and Minister Walker, the prayers of ministry. Those men nourished me in ministry. And down at Dallas Life Foundation, I go down there and I teach a mentoring class down there, and I have Mr. Booker. He's a man coordinator. Mr. Booker nourished me. He taught me how to mentor. He taught me the patience and the love that we need to share with people. Why? Because someone had patience with me. Someone had love for me. And guess what? The scripture said, when you are restored, Peter, and what Jesus told Peter, said, when you are restored, you are to strengthen your brother. Wait a minute. I'm struggling myself. I got things going on in my own life. And you asking me to help change a life? You know, I got to thinking, I was sharing with some brothers the other day, and Jesus had started his earthly ministry. He was walking around, and he saw Peter and James now, and he saw those men doing their livelihood, doing their occupation, and he called over to them. He said, hey, come, go follow me. And I got to thinking of my old man, they probably asked Jesus, hey, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, hey, we're going to help change a life in the Father's name. And they said, wait a minute, you mean I could do more than this? He said, yeah, I'm going to teach you to be fishermen of men, you know. And they caught on. At first, I bet they didn't believe it. At first, I bet they kind of hard to even accept it. But during the process of time, it took root. To the point that if Jesus were gone to be with the Father, they still was committed and faithful at the ministry in which he planted in them that had took root. And the roots were so deep and the roots were so embedded in the life that even men tried to pull them up, try to pluck them out. And they said, wait a minute, you know, God started this thing. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Now, that's my take on it. But I wanted to share that with you this morning here, because I want you to take heed and take heart to some of the programs that we share with you, because there's a ministry in this program, and we did one with Lowrider. He's a young man. He's a gospel rap artist. He was an X Gang member, and I met him a few weeks ago. He was down at one of the homeless encampments around the city of Dallas, and he said he was living there so he can get a take on the homeless environment because he was doing some research. He wanted to write some paper. He was going to solicit some money to help our brothers and sisters that are homeless, and he was living down there amongst the residents down there. And I said, wow, man, I do a lot of things, but I don't know if I can live down there with them. I could, but I never thought about it. And he actually left his comfort, left his home and his things that he's familiar with. He spent some time living in a homeless shelter. And not only living there, but he made friends with the residents to the point that he did a benefit concert for them because he's a rap artist. He brought in all his rap artist friends as many that would come out, and he put together a program for them, and they had food, they had fellowship, they had clothes, but they also gave them information they could use. So my hat goes off to him. I did play an interview with him. It's called The Ghost Rider, and, you know, A Life of Homelessness. And that's what I'm titling it now. So it was an interview with Ghost Rider. So I thank him for what he's doing. I'm going to get him back on the program as soon as I can to give us an update and find out what's going on and his take on living a life on the street for a number of months or whatever length of time he was down there. But I wanted to let you know we don't have a guest today because I wanted to just talk to you one-on-one. It's very seldom that I talk one-on-one. You know, it's almost like I'm interviewing myself, but I'm not. I'm going to share with you some things that we have been involved in. I'm saying we as Granny Place Ministry. Granny Place Ministry is a 501(c) ministry, a ministry that's affecting the needs and the lives of our young men and women at risk. Granny Place Ministry is located at Free Will Baptist Church at 1415 Wheatland Road in the Duncanville area. You know, we have a website. It's grannyplaceministry.org. Go to that website and see what Granny Place Ministry is up to and see if you could be a part of what they are doing. Granny Place Ministry have adopted a apartment unit in the, I think it's the Mesquite area. It's off of Jim Miller, and it's at the Creekside Villa Apartments, and we've been going over there for the first part of this year, which is in January 16. And so we've been going over there. We've been making contact with the residents and the kids, and that residents have been very acceptable of us coming over, and we put together some programs for the kids and the residents, and we're over there three times a month on the first, second, and the fourth Saturday of each month. We're over there from 11 to 1. And the young ladies have been very creative with the residents over there. Last outing that we was over there, since this is Mother's Day is coming up here another week or so, is that the our volunteer was assisting the young residents in the apartments, Creekside Villa Apartment, in creating Mother's Day presents. And so the young people over there were very excited. And I hadn't seen them yet, so I want to see what they look like. And I'm excited for them being excited because they went past their own comfort zone and they decided to go and do these things and try to make a difference in the lives of our young men and women. And we never know what effect they have on these young men and women's life. You know, we may be entertaining the next congressperson or the next senator or the next mayor or the next head of a security, or just another good Christian, another man and woman that loves the Lord. You know, it all starts by loving the Lord. So we pray that what the ministry is doing, Granny Place Ministry, Free on the Inside, and the volunteers that's associated with those ministries are making a difference in the lives of the young men and women, and the older adults also. And so they'll be over there creating the Mother's Day gift with our young people that over at the Creekside Villa Apartments. So we ask you to pray for them. Ask you to go to the website and see what you could do. You know, log on to the website. We do have a you can help icon on there, a volunteer icon, and say, hey, I would like to come and volunteer. Now that I just like to support what they're doing. I got some items that I have excess of. Maybe you could use them in that ministry. So we'd be happy to take those items off your hand. I'd also be happy for you to just come over and see. And maybe you have some things that you'd like to share with the volunteers and Granny's Place that you too can be a part of what we're doing. We're always looking for volunteer. Where are we looking for support? Where are we looking for new ideas? Because nobody have enrolled on everything. So, you know, your idea may be the one that we need to make this ministry successful at Creekside Villa Apartment. And also, we have just come off of a visiting Dallas Life Foundation last Thursday, which is the month of March. We was invited, me and LaShondra Lewis, which is my wife, we was invited to go over to Dallas Life. They had a luncheon for the volunteers, and it was quite a setup that they had. Cleaned out the chapel. They had the dining tables in there, very nicely decorated, and they had the staff waiting on us, and they had food prepared from their kitchen. They have chefs there that is going to school, and also professional chefs that have been volunteering their services, and at one time they even lived down at Dallas Life. And so they prepared a great meal for us, and we had a great time. And Mr. Sweeney was just the director of Dallas Life, and he did a overall presentation on where the lower Dallas Life is at right now, and thanking the volunteer for their support and their effort, and how they made a commitment. And some of the volunteers have been there for a number of years. Myself, I've been there over 12 years. But we have some people been there 25 years. And I said, wow, man. Sometimes I get weird over my length of time, and I look around, I see someone else is there longer than I am. And so that's a blessing right there. And so I'm encouraged by that. It allows me to keep going. But one thing that he was able to share with us is that there's a homeless problem here in Dallas, and it's a community called the homeless encampment called Tent City. And Dallas had decided to move that Tent City from that location and try to get the residents at Tent City a place to live, a safe place, because they've been having a lot of mishaps down there in sanitary conditions, security, and just general just chaos, because it's just men and women are doing what is right in their own mind. Let me say it again, men and women are doing what is right in their own minds, you know, and that's not where a civil society should act. We have rules and regulations that we go by. I have rules and regulations. Guess what? If I don't follow those rules and regulations, I get kind of X'd out. I get a penalty. I get held accountable for things. And I share that with the brother that I go to jail. I say, hey, man, you got rules in here. And guess what? It's rules out there in the free world. So when you get out, you got to go to your probation officer. You got to get a job. You got to live a life that is pleasing to God and society, and follow the rules that are set forth for you to get out of jail. And brothers, they look at me and they say, wow, man, I never heard it like that. I know they tell me I got to do that, I got to do it. But now you telling me that there's rules that's been set there, that regardless of what state of life we in, that's rules. You know, I've been walking this Christian walk for a long time, and I have rules that I abide by, you know. And so that's something that we have to be mindful of. But Mr. Sweeney was sharing with the volunteers and everyone that would listen, that some of the residents down at Tent City, they was kind of reluctant to go into a shelter, a structured place, because some rules and rules that they had to go by. And he was sharing with them that they have rules, and we all have rules to go by. And so Mr. Sweeney, they put together a book for homelessness, and we see we have our host on the line here at this morning, Brother Ricky Daniel. He's not a guest host. He's my co-host of this program here. So we have our co-host that just chimed in. But I just wanted to tell you before I bring him in about this book that the Dallas Life had put together, from some short stories about the resident, some reference material, and some words of encouragement. It's a great book. A young lady that we mentored, my wife, and she came over to our church, Cindy. And Cindy came in as a resident, and then she went to some of the programs that they had in, at Dallas Life. She ended up volunteering on the security staff. She ended up working on the security staff. She went to the State Board of Security or whatever they call it, and she got her license to be a security officer. She have also licensed to carry a concealed weapon, and now she's in charge of Dallas Life Security. And I said, wow, man, that's Cindy. I remember her some time ago. Tell me God not up to something. Tell me God can't change a life through people. Tell me that things don't work out for their good, you know. And so I want to encourage you, if you're helping somebody, you're involved in a ministry, don't lose heart. It works if you work it. Right now, bringing Brother Daniels, and he's going to just finish this line of conversation here. Amen. And so, good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning.
Great. Lord. Welcome to our program, brother. I've just given an update on where we're at in the ministry and was talking about how we was down at Dallas Life a couple of days ago. They had a luncheon for the volunteers, and they had quite a few volunteers that came out. And the length of the volunteers is very lengthy. Some of them have been out there over 30 years volunteering. Some of them been there 25 years. And myself have been there 12 years, and they was telling us how it's making a difference in people's lives. And Dallas Life had wrote a book about some of the residents, a short story, in their own words. It was their testimony. And I was sharing with them how one young lady had came from a life of addiction and life of frustration and life of loneliness, and how Dallas Life had made a difference in her life, and she was able to put it on paper. And my hat goes off to all those that can write books and articles, man, to the point that when you read it, you're embedded in there. I think so much as Miss Vera, man, has she have this book, boy. And I have several copies of it, a revised copy of it, of her books. And so, and I read it, and I'm very encouraged by what I read. So, Brother Daniel, how you doing today?
Well, I'm going to say this. Be sorry for me today. I kind of overslept today, and I asked now. I was doing a little studying and stuff, and I was trying to, you know, cut up on stuff about what we were going to talk about today. So, you know, well, here I am, though, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're here, though, Brother Dane, and I was just going over some things that we involved in down at Dallas Life and in my own ministry and the ministry with Granny's Play. And also, before we go to our line of discussion, I wanted to talk about our outing at the first of the month over at the Cottrell House. Cottrell House is a juvenile center, and they allow the young men to come over to our church, and they allow us to take the young men on field trips. And so we went on a field trip, and we had a nice pizza party. And they also, we had one of our volunteers, which is a young lady, and she was very gifted in arts and crafts, and she helped the young men make up a pillow for Mother's Day, and I made a pillow also. I might put it on the internet, man, but it was a very simple process, man, but it was very rewarding. The young men was reluctant at first, and then as they started making the pillows, and then we started talking about our mothers, man, and then I asked them about some of the food that their mother prepared. What was their favorite dish? And the young men, they kind of started sharing what their favorite dish was, and I had them all to share it as many as they wanted to, and all of them shared. Some of them say, I love the way my mother cooked chicken, and I love the way my mother makes spaghettis, and I love the way my mother would put together a special dessert for us, you know. And then they said, what is the best thing they admire about their mother? They said how she would love them and how she was always supportive of them. Even when they didn't do the right thing, mother had their back, and how mother still loved them, and how mother seemed to always have the right answers. And, Ricky, that's something that all of us can relate to, brother. All of us feel that way about our mother. I share it with them about my mother, and I know you have some things about your mother. She's going to be with the Lord, but I knew your mother, and I knew your father. And I knew that I knew they had love for you and love for your friends. And you know, a lot of times, you know, kids, they don't realize that. And so as you share that with them, man, because mother and them, they made an impact in our life that they don't, they made us the person that we are today.
Yeah, I know, Jody, you don't know how much that people got to do until it's gone, man, you know, and then you sit back and start realizing, hey, man, my daddy, my mom, or whatever, my mom, try to put values inside your life, a lot of this stuff don't never go away.
No, you know? It don't go away. And that's what I want our young men to do, man. And these young men, they made these pillars, man. And these are young men that went to jail, man. These are young men that lived a life of mystery, man. Lived a criminal life, man. But yet, they still took care with their mother, and they made these little pillows, man, when they could go out, and they used to having money. They used to doing things, and they took time out. I said, hey, your mother would love that more than you could ever, man. Love that more than the money you give her, more than the item that you present to her, man. She'll love that. She'll look at that with a smile and say, my baby made this for me. And I want them to, you know, think about they made it with where they was at when they made that and how they cared for their mother. So, you know, and so we pray that that the young man will hold on to that for a lifetime, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about that because your Mother's Day is next week, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is. A lot of people, when they get locked up, man, they teach them that sometimes you pull the suppress your emotions. And sometimes you're not pulling, you know, do things and say things and do things in order to, you're not supposed to show your feelings. And mostly, you know, a lot of them guys, I know when you go down to the jail, you know, a lot of them got a lot of pent up emotions, and they don't want, you know, they don't, man, I don't want nobody to see that I'm soft, man, you know, I'm soft, you know, man, you know, don't come to me with that message. That's when you're trying to talk about, you know, knowing God and Jesus, you know, they don't want to show that they got, you know, care for anybody, because most time that's the problem. And most of them, they don't have nobody to really care for, you know. And basically, they lash out at people. We lash out at people. And most time, that's why sometimes really why they get in trouble, too, because they lashing out. You're lashing out basically for attention and trying to get somebody to show you love. That's the main thing to do, man. Show me some love, man, you know. Show me some love. And last night, Reverend Lewis, I was kind of reading about some of the things that were happening in our world today, and I think you probably already done talked about it. We're talking about this Prince, entertainer, and then how he died, and now the whole world basically is expressing themselves and is trying to express, man, the love they had for him. Well, because, you know, most time when you have a funeral, the undertakers and stuff tell you that the main way to show your feelings or show any kind of emotion you had for that person that's deceased is through basically viewing them and seeing the body. And your mind automatically tells yourself that basically there's nobody, there's no way this person is gone. Realization is what I'm trying to say. Realization that this person is gone and they're no longer coming back. So through this death of Prince, I believe that they, by the way that they deal with his body, through, you know, cremating, and they didn't let anybody see him, and basically nobody had a way in order to do this. You know, a lot of these other entertainers, you know, when they die, we see that they putting it on TV, putting it on them on Facebook. You see a lot of them giving their testimonies and dancing for them, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that they do in order to show that, you know, man, I had loved this person. You know.
Right, but I understand.
But sometimes it can be carried on too much. You can do it too much. Then you come to the way that's like you idolizing this person. you setting this up as an idol. Idol, you know, and the Bible strictly tell you about idolizing things and people and making an idol out of people. Because then when you start doing that, it's almost like you setting them up and you putting them before God. You know, of making this person a God. You understand, Rev. Lewis?
Yeah, I understand.
And basically, I was reading a long time ago, I read about, like John Coltrane. You know him, don't you?
Yeah, I heard of him. I know his music.
He's a jazz saxophone player. He died during the early 60s. But, you know, now I think somewhere in Los Angeles or San Francisco, they got a church, you know. They said they made up a church called it the Church of John Coltrane. You know what I'm saying? That's a religion. Everybody, you worship him and you understand him and you go through all his songs and his records and you don't, you know, I mean, that's unforgivable, man, for you to do something like that. And yeah, you know, he was a man, but he wasn't a God. And if you keep worshiping him, you was doing strictly what God told you don't do.
Yeah, and that's on those people that don't have any knowledge of God. So, you know, what we have to do is just kind of pray for them and try to show them in the right direction. Because, you know, Ricky, there's a point in time for each one of us to go. You know, we would like to make an impact on society in a positive way. Some people make it in a negative way, and majority of make it in a positive way. You know, and everyone know Prince because he didn't get in trouble, made good music, or whatever it may be, but we didn't know the man per se, and that's something that, you know, that we would never know because he's no longer with us. But as people are accepting and moving on with his life, you know, we have to realize that we all are going to be, it's a point in time for each one of us. We pray that we make an impact that other people's continually to follow the things that have been set forth in our life. Not follow us, but follow the principles provided. They were good principles. Loving, caring, sharing, helping. And that's what it's all about. So I'm glad you were able to share that, man, because, you know, we grew up listening to Prince like most people. And, you know, and we just listened to him for the music. We didn't know much about him. We knew that he was a great artist, a great musician, a songwriter. And that's all we knew about him. And even up until his death, that's as much we ever knew about him for 25 years, you know. He kept all that privately. So, you know, so I understand what you're saying. And so Brother Daniel, tell me about, you know, what's been going on over at your local assembly. Because we got an open line here today. Before you say anything, let me give out this contact number. The number is 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. You two can call in, voice your opinions, and give out some comments regarding myself, Brother Daniel, or the show. We would love to hear from you, and you too can make a difference in the lives of someone. All right, we got that out the way. And, Brother Daniel, once you finish, I got some more stuff I would like to share regarding what we're doing over at the Creekside Villa and in the ministry per se.
Well, Reverend Lewis, my agenda is basically I've been trying to establish a ministry of helping people. And basically, I'm trying to open up a school of music, something like a school of music, a music store. And I'm also trying to find a way to give back to a youth. You know, in the way that we're talking about music, I also believe that, you know, children or kids should be taught the correct way in playing music, you know, and using it as a device to help themselves and to help others, and basically try to find a decent job, you know, through education. You can be educated, by this talent you have. You know, I know you know you got some kids, and I think you got a couple of nephews and stuff that play music, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you know, so, and, you know, it's a talent that really gives you something that never leaves you. You know, I can say I had music lessons, man. I know a lot of people, man, through this too. I had some teachers, man, that taught me and told me a lot of things about, you know, music ideas, and told me what to study and who to listen to. And, you know, back, like you say, you don't know a lot of things about these people, but through learning, you know, the music and the life, sometimes you learn other things about, you know, just kind of doing a little private study. You learn about some of the ways they grew up and how they grew up and some of the pitfalls that they had in their lives, and how the way, basically how they overcame them, you know. Sometimes that's a better thing for you to tell your students how they overcame these things, you know. A lot of people have struggles in order to, before they came and got successful too, you know. They went through a lot, you know.
Yeah, and that is so true.
You know.
I'm glad you shared that. Now, Brother Daniel, what was the earliest age that you learned about playing music, or you were aware of your desire to play music?
Well, basically, you know, my dad was a musician. You didn't know this, though. You probably know that. My dad came from Carson County, Texas, man. You know, like in these small towns, man, you don't have like one high school, or you got one high school with all the black folks, man, too. Really, I say that. And he learned music. He learned photography. And he was a football player. So basically all these three traits was transferred to me. And basically I got some kids that got the same talents.
Yes,
I know your son went
to college and played ball, high school ball.
Played football and, you know, musicians too. They know music, they don't want to do it. You know, you can tell the teacher to them, but they didn't want to do it. I taught all of them all the skills I know. So basically, my first teacher was my father. You know, he taught me a lot about music, and he showed me. In fact, he had a big footlocker that he bought from the army, man. And basically, it was full with all sorts of music, man. It was filled with all kinds of marches and music and stuff he used in high school. He had a whole lot of old Dizzy Gillespie songs and charts and music and a lot of Miles Davis stuff. God, all these people. And I kept going back in his closet, man. I kept on being nosy, you know. I was a nosy kid. And I go back and I look out in this footlock and he had this old trumpet, man. It was old, man. It was rusty and stuff. And, you know, that's the only thing he could afford. So I kept getting it and I kept getting it and I kept blowing on it. And he hears something back and said, "What about playing my horn, man?" And he said, "Well, since you're doing that, you want to learn how to play this." So he taught me the positions on the horn, the vowel positions, and the notes. And he learned me about the tones that the horn makes and the music notes. And he went over everything, and, you know, the keys and the, you know, the different notes and the different signs and the terms and everything, you know. Basically, what he did, he installed in me things that I probably would have had to pay a teacher for, man, for music lessons. Probably at $20 an hour, you know. But he was my in-house teacher.
Yes, that's all right there.
Yeah, then when it got to a certain level, that I couldn't, you know, that he didn't know. Which he went to the Army. He learned music in the Army through the music teachers. He had one of the best music instructors, man, in the world that taught him trumpet in the Army over in Germany, man, you know. So basically, he got schooled, man, himself. And then he really didn't have anybody else to give that talent back to. Because, you know, like most black men in those days, they didn't, you know, when you came back home from the Army, you either did the job that you did before you got in the Army, or you basically didn't have anything else to rely back on. Unless they basically taught you a trade in the Army, and that was his trade, was music. And basically, they didn't have anybody, you know, back in the early 60s, they didn't have nothing else to do with music. You know, either you didn't have a degree, or basically you're going to start, you're going to play in a band, you know. I come back home and play in a music jazz, blues. It was blues back in the day. The jazz didn't go too hot, you know. It was mostly the blues band. You come back home and you playing these blues bands around in town and playing these clubs and stuff, you know. And he didn't want to do that. So basically, I'm saying that's the way God do things, you know. He didn't let this talent go unenlisted, you know. And basically, you know, I use my talent right now, Reverend Lewis, for God. You know, I went through all these different phases in my life of trying to play music in these clubs and bands and nightclubs and stuff. Basically, I found out it wasn't really what God really wanted me to do, Reverend Lewis. You know, there was a lot of them find out that, you know, you cannot do both of them. You cannot serve man and madam too.
Yeah, right. And a lot of people, they grew up like that and didn't tell they come to a realization. That's why I share with our brothers in jail and when I go out and speak from time to time that Isaiah 35:5 said God will open up the blinded eyes and unstop the deaf ears. And then Ephesians 1 says that God opened up he will open up the eyes of our understanding. You know, Ricky, sometimes we can see things, but we don't understand it. You know, that understanding, you know, if you like, even like wisdom, the master of God, open up my eyes to understand. Now, since your eyes have been opened, that what you used to do wasn't right, you want to do it for God, but God allows you to do those things. So you can tell some other musician that's playing that music is unhappy. He said, man, I play this music, people love it, but I just unhappy. And then you can tell him, hey, you know, God put something else in you. He wants you to go a different route. Yes, that was okay for learning and stuff, but you can't. Well, no, Rick, I learned that we can't undo the thing that we're done, man. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. That's a part of my life, man. I can't go around telling people I don't know what's going on. It ain't never happened. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know what it's like to fight addiction, brother. I fought it for years. I know what it's like when you want to do good until you get money. You know, I was a happy addict until I had some money. When I didn't have no money, I was just as happy. But when I got some money, man, it was like a total different world. And then you have to realize, hey, you got to learn to live with these things, man. We have to learn to live with our infirmities and our shortcomings. There's a record, Ricky, that I don't know the name of, but I did a message on it. This guy, he's saying about walking with our limp. And he was saying that, you know, I had these shortcomings, I had these mishaps. And men and women in the Bible had these things, but they kept walking. They kept walking with their limp. And I got to thinking, man, if Jesus was walking up that cross, man, the road to Calvary, he was crippled. He was bruised, man, but he kept walking, Ricky. And that's what we have to do, is keep walking with our limp. And sometimes people don't see those limps. Sometimes those limps could be finances. They could be wayward thinking. They could be lust. But we had to keep walking. Not that we playing through it, man, but we can't let those things separate us from God.
Amen. It's so true. It's so true.
Guess what? If we say, well, I can't get this thing right, I can't get God until I get this thing right, guess what? We never get that thing right. We have to keep going, man.
Amen.
So I like what you were sharing.
Later on. Oh, I guess I finished my story. I'm telling you. When I grew up, you know, we went through our childhood together. You know, we always around these different people, man. in our neighborhood. You know, one time when I went to college, man, you know, man, one day I came and I took y'all down to school, man. I tried to show y'all and put some culture. That's what I call myself doing. I try to introduce y'all to culture.
Yeah, you did a good job. I enjoyed it.
I came and I took everybody in my hood to my school, my University of North Texas. I took them down to my school that day. All my the Peters, Shorty and Peter and Greg and all of us. We were all in the party. I'm going to introduce my friends. I'm going to show them they can do the same thing too. You can go to school. You can be somebody. I mean, you ain't got to walk the street and do bad things and get in trouble. And look at me. I'm a thug, but I'm an educated thug. You know what I'm saying?
I remember those days, man. I enjoyed that little short outing many years ago.
Basically, when we look back, every one of them guys, man, in our hood, man, got in trouble. Reverend Lewis, you know, every one of them, man, which basically, and then I look at it about it when we talking about fathers. A lot of them didn't have no fathers in their lives.
Yeah.
And then basically, and we don't say it like it really is, basically they didn't have a spiritual life. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, we really didn't go to church like we really supposed to be doing back in those days, really to know what direction we really needed to be sinning in. You know what I'm saying? And that was really basically what was lost in our lives. Basically, why me and you and Peter and Greg and all of basically why we really all got together, even like these youngsters do nowadays, they trying to find love. Basically, we didn't see it. We were trying to find love, too. But that very thing that we really needed to find, it was there, but we didn't know where to find it at. It was through Jesus. Right,
that's so true. We started with
basically get together and talk crazy, and then pass the joint, man, and then all this, and basically what we doing, we're trying to, pacify ourselves for that time till we really can find somebody really in your family, came to the door. You want to come to my church, Richard, you want to go to our church? You want to know? And somebody basically had to plant that seed, basically what I'm trying to say. Planted that seed to know Jesus. And we really didn't know who it was. I mean, God probably sent it to you, but you didn't heed that voice at first. You know what I'm going through, huh?
Yeah, I understand. And it's so true, and it's so true, brother, because we were younger, and that's where a lot of young generations is, man. We lose that connection, I think it's kind of like from our teen years until we come to a young adult, man. We lose that connection, but we had it before we became teenagers, and then we have an opportunity to pick it up, but there's always 5 or 6 years or 10 years that we didn't have a relationship with God. But as a child, man, they say you train a child in the way it should go and should never depart. That goes as for good and for evil, man. If you show a child good things, then they'll always learn those things. But if you show them bad things and no love and no caring, they're going to always know that. That's one thing they're going to grow to and being drawn to.
Yeah. And basically, when I go back to that, I can remember, man, when I first got home from school one summer, and my first job, I think I worked for the park department, man. And, like we go off on these little trucks with these other people when we go to different parks and fix the recreational equipment on the park. So
yeah.
my truck driver, he was an older white guy. And he kept his radio on he had this old hand radio all the time. And it was on these old gospel preacher shows. And that whole summer, that's all what I listened to was these old gospel preachers, man. I mean, they were just telling about the scriptures in the Bible. And I said, well, man, I said, why is he listening to this? And then he told me, sir, young man, do you know Christ? And I said, man, why is he? Oh, yeah, I go to church. You know, I know what he said. But he said, do you know him as your personal Savior? Have you given your life to Jesus? And at that time, I really didn't know exactly what was being put on me, you know. But like I say, he was planting the seed even then. He was planting the seed, you know. And he basically every day I would come to work, he had those shows on, and they'd be going over these scriptures. You know how these old preachers do, don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, and every day I learned a scripture. And I didn't, you know, basically it was just etching in my brain. I learned these scriptures, you know. I learned these scriptures, you know. John 16:3-16. And I go home and basically I went on one day I told my mom about it. She said, well, basically, Rick, that's where God is working. He's working through that man to you. I said, what? Yeah, he's working through that man to you. He's trying to call you. He's calling you. And I, no, man, God ain't, you know, and now I see what was going on. God was calling me even then, Reverend Lewis, you know. Then the next semester in school, I took up this Bible course, and I took up, you know, all these scriptures was in my brain. I took this course up, and then basically it got reinforced.
Yeah,
I started studying the word through this Bible course. I bought me a Bible, and I started, you know, learning through this course. It had from Genesis. It started off all the way through the end, the first scriptures in the Bible, all the way up to I believe it's Kings. And then once we learned all that, you know, I said, well, I guess he's, man, I started going to church down there in Denton, to these little churches down here in Shacktown. They call them Shacktown. That's the part of Denton, that's where all the blacks live. And, you know, basically, he was calling me, man, you got to do something on Sunday. You got to you stand in the dormitory room every day on Sunday morning, go to church. And I started going to church on Sunday.
Amen, that's good.
Yeah, and then basically then, what happened when I got back home, I didn't have a church home at home. My mom then went to church, but I didn't go to the church where they went to. My grandmama, she went to this church around here, down there on 4th Avenue down there. And I started going there on Sunday, and then I started learning, well, you know, you can go, but you got to give your heart and be baptized. What is that? You got to be baptized too. So what I did, you know, after I had the story, Revelation, you know, once
yeah.
I messed up in school, well, I got back around the house, and then when I got, you know, married and stuff. You know, it was a church over down there on Metropolitan over the track. And I joined that church, man, and then, you know, I got baptized. Then my life, basically, it started to change. Everything I really was doing again, I didn't want to do no more, Reverend Lewis. I didn't want to do all these things no more, man. But the calling that God really set out for me, I didn't do. I kept running. You know, you're going to run.
Yeah.
You're going to run from the calling. You know what I'm saying? Basically, my calling was to teach. My calling is teaching. Teaching the word. You know, it's two different callings. It's a preaching and it's a teacher. Mine is teaching. Teaching the word of God through music. And through visual arts and stuff like that, you know. Basically, what I'm saying, maybe he's got for me to make a video, a movie, or something. But basically, that's what it's about. And basically, what that music and that video that we was talking about making. And that's the other thing. That's what's really hitting on my heart to do. We got to make this video, Rem Lewis.
I know we've been talking about it. It's 2 years in the plan, so I think movies could take several while. So yeah, that's something that I already got.
Yeah,
people
but
set up.
And basically with them tearing that shanty town downtown. They don't tow all these little homes and shelter things down that where these people were staying at down there. They made a move about 3 months ago, right?
Yeah, they've been moving them out in stages. I was down there the other day, and it didn't decrease. They just got a little section that they still allow them to be there for right now. And probably by the end of this weekend, they'll move them all out and clean up that area and get them into a place.
Man.
And, Ricky, sometimes things are good, though, man, because sometimes people, that's the only way people are going to advance, man, because you stand down there and you've been disabled by the love that God people have to show, because they come down there feed and clothe. But yet, then next week they come down and do the same thing, and we want to change life. That's what I always say, man. Because I don't do what I do for nothing, man. Because somebody changed my life, brother. Someone changed my life. How they do it? They say, "Hey, I know where you at. I know what you're doing, but it's a better way. You don't have to live like this. Go over here.
Yeah,
and get some help. Go down there and get some help.
Get them, force them out of there.
And then not only force them out, but give them information, give them options. Say, hey, we're going to move you from here, but you got a chance to go here. They say, I don't like that. Well, you can go here. I don't like that. Give people several places. I went to three or four different recovery programs. So when I talk about guys doing a recovery, guys tell me they don't like this. I said, well, have you go there? Well, I don't like this. Well, have you go there? Then I said, wait a minute, brother, you don't want no help. I only gave you three, four different options. You need a place to stay, go here, go there. And sometimes they say, man, how you know about all these places? I used to know places. I went to some of those places.
Yeah.
A change
is good. Change is good and change is needed. And basically, I've been involved with street ministry, I can see a lot of these men and women, they don't want to change. They're satisfied with what they're doing. They don't want to be bothered. And basically, that's what that spirit inside them telling them, too. I don't want to be bothered. Leave him alone. Or leave us alone, rather. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Rem Lewis, when I first started learning about, spirituality and demonology and stuff like that, those demons have different regions that they are assigned in order to torment people in. They got different regions for every sickness, every thing that's what happened. You got a demon for homosexuality. You got a demon for drug addiction. You got a demon for alcoholism. You got a demon for being a thief. All these different things are inside their body that's what's making them act a certain way. And in different regions, we're going to talk about it now. I was looking at the other state to say how San Francisco has one of the highest rates of homelessness. But it's also the biggest homosexual capital in the world, in the United States.
All right. Hey, Brother
they
Daniel,
have more.
We got a caller online right now, so I'm going to bring him in here in just a minute, then we'll come back to you, okay? We got John on the line here. Just coming up. Hey, good morning, John. You on the net?
Hey, good morning, John. You on the net?
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, this is John Gallbunny, and I have a brother, and he just recently found love in his life. He's about 35 years old. And everyone's real happy for him, and we had the wedding and everything, and he was blessed, But he was practicing abstinence with this woman, and they were on the honeymoon, and it turns out the woman was actually a man. So is there any way that he's going to burn for eternity for what he did? Because apparently he went quite a ways before he found out.
No, John, but that wedding
should be illegal.
I understand that, but he was not aware at the time. He was not aware at the time. I'll tell you what, John, I would seek some counseling and legal advice regarding that situation. If he was unaware of it wasn't a legitimate wedding, this woman also had a rack, if you know what I mean, and she had large implants, and it was a bit of an issue, and you know what I'm talking about, all right?
Yeah, I don't know what you said. Hey, I tell you what, once you get some legal help on that and get some professional counseling, I know that could be helpful.
Yeah, I also wanted to talk to you about another matter that was happening in my life.
Okay. Wait a minute, John. Okay. I think I got a call on the line here. Let me put you on hold and we'll talk to you about this.
Okay, sounds good.
Hello?
Brother Daniel.
Hello?
Yes, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
Hey, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, then I had John on the line there. He dropped off. I wanted to talk to him offline before we let him get there. Now, he had a very positive, he had some issues going on. I wanted to resolve that offline here, but he hung up before we got to it. So, you know, I was sharing with him that was a marriage under deception now, brother. That thing should even be legal.
Yeah, man. Well, we look at that, like we're saying, we're living in days, different days, times nowadays. All this is going on. And they also talking about the bathrooms, the people using the bathrooms and transgender people and stuff. It's just adding to the fuel in the fire, man. It's going to be more cases like that coming up about
okay. Hey, John is on the line now, Rick. Why don't you go ahead and conduct the interview, and I'm going to talk with him right quick. Then we're going to bring him back on if need be, okay?
Okay. So he got nervous. Can't get nervous about that, Reverend Lewis. That's going to be round questions. If people ask you questions about that, you're going to have to be able to fire off, rapid fire these questions out when people ask you questions about gender differences. Because that's what's going on in the world now. They're trying to say that God made them too. He's gone. Hey, boy.
Brother Daniel. Hello, Brother Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We have bad communication there with John, and his phone is messing up some kind of way.
Yeah.
And so we'll hope he call back in. Now, Brother Daniel, he was asking Brother John was asking about some drug recovery programs, and I couldn't figure out what town he was in. But anywhere, any town that you're in, there should be some numbers that's associated with drug recovery programs. If you go to your information section of your phone, or you call the operator and say, hey, I need to know the local drug recovery program or agency in our town, or some NA groups that's in our town or something, that should be able to get him some information regarding getting him some help. Now, would you like to chime in on that right there? John said, hey, he needs some help for drug recovery program.
Yeah, he can go to it's a good place over here on Lemon Avenue off of Lemon.
Yeah, but he's not in Dallas.
Oh, where is he at?
I don't know. That's why he dropped out before he was able to tell me. I don't know.
Well,
so we're going to talk to him the whole time. Our program goes around the world and across the country.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He didn't say what city he lived in, did he?
No, he didn't.
Okay. Just tell him to call back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. John, if you're still out there, give us a call back, and we'll just try to bring you up on air, and we'll discuss this matter with you.
I want to say something about the last question he said about that friend of his, that dude, he think he's going to hell.
We didn't answer that. Yeah. No, I don't think he'll be going to hell because of that. even though society says it's legal, but if he married someone up under false pretense, that's what brought my attention, that he did it unwarrantly. Now, if he did it unwarrantly, and if he wants to live that type of life, yes, he's going to hell.
Yeah, if he keep on condoning in it. But basically, he got fooled in false pretense. He got fooled.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got
and I pray we had bad reception. John, I wish you'd call back. John, give me a call back, please, and we'll discuss it. John, we're on every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And so what we'll do, we'll bring you on here, and we'll discuss your matter privately or publicly, and we'll try to get you some help, okay? You still there, Brother
Boy.
Dave?
Yeah, boy, when you look at it, Reverend Lewis, this subject, what's going on now in our society, what's going on? Basically, I believe a lot of ministers and a lot of professional people gonna have to be reconstructed and be reeducated in the dealing with these kind of this situations of our gender, man. Cause it's gonna happen, man. But I was learning the other day, man, about how they gonna have these different bathrooms. And basically what would happen, what if somebody just pretend that they like that? Just like this guy said, he pretended he was, and then he married this guy. What if you had some weird old man just pretend that you a certain way and you just going off in the bathrooms, going in just peeping at people, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah,
that's
so true.
You're going
in
peeping and peeping, you're a pervert, and you just doing what you can do now because basically it's legal.
I tell you what, Brother Daniel, that's something to think about. We're going to have to get a show wrapped around that, you know. And we're about ready to get out of here, okay? We got to get on out of here. John, I want you to call back to the program next Saturday morning, and we're going to talk about your issues. And you're welcome to call in any Saturday morning from 8 to 9 is what we're on. And thank you for finding enough faith thank you for finding a willingness to call in. I'm going to put it that way because I know it takes boldness to call in and address these issues. And it shows that you care. And if you care, then God cares. Brother Daniel, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're getting out of here, okay?
Okay.
Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the program. As our program reaches out to touch those men and women, dear Lord, that seem to be lost, seem to be without hope. Thank you for the caller that called in this morning, dear Lord, that addressed the issue for a friend that has some issues in his own personal life. Let him know, dear Lord, that there's help, that there's help available. There's wisdom and wise counseling, dear Lord. Allow that young man to find wise counseling in his area, dear Lord. I don't know what town he's in, dear Lord, but there's no place that you're unable to be at, dear Lord. There's no place that he can be without knowing that your presence is there. Dear Lord, we ask you to give him guidance and give him an assurance that you are Lord. You'll say, dear Lord, we thank you for Brother Daniel this morning. We thank you for the rest of the guests that call in that just want to listen to the program. We pray this program is definitely helping changing lives in Jesus' name. We pray that everything go according to your will today. Dear Lord, watch over each and every one of us. And let us be mindful that you started this journey we're on and that you're going to finish it. Keep a hedge of protection around everyone within listening ear, dear Lord, from danger seen and unseen. And we pray, and we give you the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, our Brother Daniel. Man, we'll see you next week, okay? And be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, all right?
All right. Stay free on the inside.
Amen. Being free on the inside. Amen. As we get ready to get on out of here, Brother Dan, we'll be back here next weekend, and we're looking forward to having you be a part of what we're doing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let call back next week.
Call back in. You're listening to Free on the Inside. We can end that program. We'll inform you, encourage you, and challenge you to be all you could be. Never give up on God, and God will never give up on you.